Second Sharmanity.
Krishna,
one of the
Yam Pravajanta Manupeta Mapeta Christian Dry Pai and Ovidahaka Taduva Juhava Putre Titan Mayataya Taduva Banedur Tam Sarva Buddha Hidaya Munimana Tosni Bhakya Vihina Aparada Lakshay Chiptasya Kamaditaram Brahmadi Kripamai Kvam Sharanam Prapadyam Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam Tvaivasmi Tvaivasmi Najivami Tam Vina Iti Vijaya Radhe Tam Nayamam Charanam Pite. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupada Astotara Satishri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotara Satishri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. I'm very happy to see you all again. And we're all very happy and fortunate that we'll be seeing Srila Gurudev in a few hours. So there's a very nice verse that Gurudev often quotes to show our relationship with him, with Sri Guru. By Dvitiya Vinibeshitasya Ichyadapetasya Viparjayoshmati Tanmayaya Tam Budhirava Jaitvam Bhaktyaika Jaitam Guru Devatatma. That is, all fear, all sense of fear is due to forgetting that there's nothing in existence outside of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All fear is due to the dual conception of life, that there's something outside of him, so therefore I should be afraid of all those other things that are outside of him. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. But fortunately, if we serve the Supreme Lord under the guidance of Sri Guru, who is understood to be non-different from our very life and soul, Guru Deva Ta Atma. Guru Deva Atma. Guru Deva is non-different from our Atma. It's not that I'm Guru Deva, but he's more intimate with us than our own life and soul. So one who serves the intelligent person, Buddhir Abhijetam, one who is intelligent, he knows how to get out of this time immemorial maya, which is just like if I can go forward, or there's my shadow behind me. And I could go forward to the light, or I can turn around to the shadow and try and grab onto it for dear life. But in the shadow, there's no substance. So maya is like that shadow. We're trying to grab onto the shadow for happiness, comfort, society, friendship and love, financial security, all kinds of things that maya promises to offer, but then we find that there's no security there. So Srila Gurudev explained in his discussion on this verse that tanmayatam, for one who is completely, fully dependent on the lotus feet of Sri Guru for everything, to that person, Maya goes away in 1 second, and he closes his eyes and opens his eyes and finds that he's in Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, it's easier said than done, but he's giving the process of full dependence on Guru and realizing that he's more close to me than my own Atma, than my own life and my own soul. So when we see him later this morning, we can think, oh, my life and soul has just come. My Atma has just come. My heart has just come. And then, no matter what he's doing, I always feel close to him because, after all, he's my heart. We read and hear in relation to the pastimes of the Lord that say Lalita Devi, for example, she considers Srimati Radhika as thousands of times more important to her than her own life. Or she considers one hair on the body of Radharani as more important to her than thousands of times over her own life. And we hear that in relation to all of Krishna's devotees and Mahaprabhu's devotees. So how does that come about? It comes about by starting with Guru. Just like if I have a husband, then automatically I have so many other relatives. I have a father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, and so on. So similarly, if I make my relationship with Guru, then all the other relationships in the transcendent world can manifest. And not only that, all relationships in this world can also manifest. For example, in the Sad Goswami Astakam, it's stated that the six Goswamis are dear to both the peaceful and the ruffians because they're non-envious and they love everybody. So automatically, our beautiful relationship with all living entities is manifest when we manifest our relationship with Krishna, but that comes by Guru. Srila Gurudev said a few times that if we can feel separation, intense separation from Gurudev, then we can feel intense separation from Srimati Radhika, without which we cannot do any bhajan. I once told Gurudev that I'm so busy with all, you know, I was very proud. And I wanted some encouragement from Gurudev for my pride. So I said, you know, I'm so busy with all of the services that you... At the same time, I was a little bit lamenting. I have so many services that you've given me, important services, that my sadhan is sloppy. I'm very attentive in my services, but my sadhan, my chanting is very sloppy. And I don't know what to do. So I thought he would say, no problem, just go on with your services and your sloppy sadhan. And one day I'll just bless you with good sadhana. But he didn't say that at all. He said, no, you have to be like me. You have to take time out to chant and to weep. And then he showed that on his string of beads, he was pulling over the third of the four, you know, the 4 times 16. And then he was sitting on his Vyasasana bed in Mathura, and then he has this kind of like a slanty table, and so he kind of gestured over to all the Hindi work that he's doing to produce his Hindi publication. So he said, I have so much work, but I always take the time out to chant and to weep. So how does that weeping and separation come in our bhajan? It comes from feeling intense separation and dependence on Sri Guru. So this morning, I just want to share some things that are in Gurudev's heart. We can go out and expand unlimitedly. There are 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are 30 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Gurudev has another 20 or 30 books that he has produced, 50 books in Hindi and in English. So we can expand unlimitedly, bringing Srila Gurudev with us. As he said in the New Zealand airport, we can't pray to anybody in the disciplic succession and have them hear us, have them hear our prayers, so because we're too fallen and full of anarthas. So we keep Srila Gurudev with us, we keep Sri Guru with us wherever we're going in our prayers to anybody. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Rup Damodar, Lalita Devi, and we keep his presence with us, saying the prayers, but knowing that he's the one who's actually asking them, please show mercy on my kripapaksha, on my my own container who I want to give mercy to. So, bringing Sri Guru with us, we can go to the far ends of his heart through all the Vedic literatures, hearing them, remembering them, and applying them. I remember back in 1993 or 4, he was telling us how to read. He said, whatever you're going to read, before you read, you should pray like this. O Diksha Guru, you're here, sitting next to me, then to my Shiksha Guru, and then to the Guru Parampara, Mahaprabhu's associates, Mahaprabhu, Radhakrishna's associates, that I know that you're all sitting with me as my Shiksha Guru. But when we do pray to the anybody upper from Gurudev, we know that only by his mercy can we get their mercy. So we pray that you're sitting here with me as my Shiksha Gurus. So I'm about to read. Please help me enter the deepest regions of what I'm about to read so that I can come out the other end as a servant of Radha and Krishna. So I thought I'd share some things out of Srila Prabhupada's heart and Srila Gurudev's heart and the heart of our acharyas, just for happy remembrance. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, and also whenever we're in Navadvip, Srila Gurudev gives us this verse to remember, because we want to be servants of Radha and Krishna. And without serving Mahaprabhu and Navadvip, we cannot approach Radha and Krishna. So he teaches us, Araditam Navavanam Brajakananam Te Naraditam Navavanam Na Braja Eva Dore Aradito Dvijisuto Nagaraste, Braja Nagaraste, Naradito Jidisuto Nata Eva Krishna. If we worship Navadvip, the nine islands of Navadvip, then Krishna is very easy to attain. If we don't worship, Braja is very easy to attain. If I don't worship Navadvip, then Braja Eva Dure. Vrindavan is very, very far away. If I worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of the Brahmana, Jagannath Mishra, Aradito Dvijasuto, Brajanagaraste, I can easily reach the beloved of Braj. And if I don't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not to Eva Krishna, I can never reach him. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita,
And Srila Gurudev also teaches us the principles therein. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day, after he assumed his boar incarnation, he took the form of the boar and put a pot on his head, showing how Lord Boar held the earth on his head. And then he said this verse, Hareer Nama, Hareer Nama, Hareer Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Nyata. In this age of Kali, there's no other means for deliverance from the age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, disharmony, than the chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the reason that it's repeated three times. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. Is for emphasis. If we perform austerities, if we do the practice of mystic yoga, or if we engage in fruitive activities, like I'll do some material thing to make myself happy, to relieve myself. Somebody hurt me, so I'll do the fruitive activity of hurting them back, and that'll make me happy because I've taken revenge. So Mahaprabhu and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami are saying, no, none of that can make me happy. Once one devotee who's here now, he received Diksha from Gurudev in New Zealand. He asked Gurudev on the morning walk, I think that was shown last night, as a householder, if I desire to make money, is that an impediment to my bhakti? And Gurudev said, no matter how hard you work, you'll make whatever's destined to you. So if you concentrate on bhakti, we have to work, but our desire should be bhakti. And then everything else comes automatically. If I, the conviction that if I water the tree, the root of the tree, then all the leaves and branches are automatically watered. So I have the conviction that, number one, by my karma, whatever is going to come, comes. And also, if I simply put all my attention in devotional practices, then all of my other activities automatically come. So not that we don't work, not that we don't try hard to get money for Gurudev's project, but for our own self. And then even getting money for Gurudev's project is with the meditation that I want bhakti, and that I'm using my intelligence for Gurudev's project for the purpose of getting bhakti. Then everything becomes sadhan. The definition of sadhan is when the when one engages in the nine processes of devotional service for the purpose of attaining bhava bhakti, then that activity is sadhan. So no other activity other than chanting the holy name can free us from all the influence of this degrading age of Kali Yuga. Then how can one chant in such a way that the chanting will be effective? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues, to chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor. But one should offer others all respectful obeisances. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, you should not say anything to others to retaliate. And the beautiful example is given by Gurudev of the king. I think most of you know this history. The king was sitting under the mango tree, and the boys were throwing rocks at the mango tree so that the mangoes would fall down and the boys could eat the mangoes. So accidentally, one of the rocks hit the king in the eye, and his eye started gushing blood, and naturally he became blind in that eye. So his minister said, "Oh king, please order us now to kill those boys or severely torture them." And he said, "Why? I'm sitting next to this mango tree, and I see the tree is giving fruits and flowers, no matter who comes to it for what. Even the boys are throwing rocks at the tree is giving its fruits. So am I less than the tree? No, I'm a great king. So you should give them a portion of my kingdom." So this is an example that Gurudev gave for being forbearing like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he doesn't say anything to others to retaliate. Even if one comes and cuts the tree, he never protests. Nor even if it is drying up and dying, does it ask anyone for water. And what is the benefit of that? That no retaliation, even in the mind, by remembering the instructions of the Lord and the pastimes of the devotees of the Lord who've exemplified that, I'm free. The benefit is that I'm free to give all my attention to serving my guru, no matter what obstacles come in the way. My Gurudev wants this, so I'm going to make all kinds of adjustments, whatever I have to do, and use my full intelligence to accomplish his service. And why? So that he will give me bhakti, so that he will be pleased with me and give me bhakti. Thus, the Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else for himself. If someone gives him something without being asked, then he can accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. This is very high. We think the gopis are high, but this is so high. So why are we here reading about it? Why are we speaking about it? Why are we hearing about it? So that a goal is created, that I want to be like this. Oh, I'm so hungry, I wish I had some cake and ice cream and soda and Malpours and so many nice things. Or I'm just hungry. It's not even that I want sense gratification. I'm just hungry. Where can I get something to eat? Let me see who can I ask to get something to eat. There's nothing wrong with that, on one hand. I told Gurudev, this is about 12 or 13 years ago, I said, "You're teaching us that we should be like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami." And Raghunath Das Goswami was praying to Radharani in Vallabh Kusmanjali that if I don't get your mercy, in the very next second, I'll die. I'm just about to die. My whole existence is in the middle of a great conflagration, a great fire, and I feel like I'm burning up. And if I don't get your soothing glance to put out that fire in the very next second, just like a fish out of water, he's thinking, if I don't get in the water in 1 second, that's the end. So he's flapping and trying and seeing how can I get in some water. So he thinks, in the next second I'll die. So I told Gurudev, "I don't feel like that at all. I know you're saying this, but I don't feel like that at all. I'm thinking that if I don't eat, I'll die. If I don't drink, I'll die." He said, "Yes, that is your problem." So the reason that we're hearing about it and reading about it is just so we have a goal, so we can pray that and lament that, oh, I'm so far away from myself. Because Guru is myself, and then Krishna is myself. And not that Guru is myself now, and later on Krishna's myself. But Gurudev explained that the anugatya, or being under the guidance of Guru, is eternal. It's there also in Goloka Vrindavan, although not in the formal way that we have now of obeisances and awe and reverence. But there it's spontaneous with winks and glances. But the anugatya is there. And Gurudev said, therefore, for that reason, Guru Nistha is the backbone of bhakti from the beginning to the end. So Mahaprabhu is continuing. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is continuing. One should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name, and watch one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. For myself, for Gurudev's service, I, even if it doesn't come easy, I do it. Not that, oh, my service to Gurudev didn't come easy, so I'll not do it. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. Such a person can easily chant and get the full benefits of chanting. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states, raising my hands, I declare, everyone hear me, string this verse on the thread of the holy name. Let's try to picture that. String this verse. What's the verse? Trinadapi Sunichina. String this verse on the thread of the holy name. Let's say the holy name is a thread. So I string the verse on the thread, and then I wear that on my neck for continuous remembrance. Now, we'll see an example of a devotee who follows this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. This ecstatic chanting was performed behind closed doors so that non-believers who came to make fun would not get entrance, so they could chant in peace. Thus, the non-believers burned in the fire of their own envy. And to retaliate, they tried to figure out different schemes to give trouble to Srivas Thakur. So one night, while the kirtan was going on inside, one such envious brahmana named Gopala Chapala, who was the chief of the non-believers, who was talkative and very rough in his speech, he placed all the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga Devi on the outside step, outside the door of Srivas Thakur's house. Now, this was his procedure. On the upper portion of a plantain leaf, he put all the paraphernalia like rice, red sandalwood, turmeric, vermilion, and he also put wine there, a pot of wine. And in the morning, when Srivas Thakur opened his door, he saw there on the doorstep all this paraphernalia for worshipping Durga. So what did he do? He didn't try and hide it and hope, gee, I hope nobody sees this because then they might think I'm bad. Rather, he immediately called for all the respectful gentlemen in the neighborhood. And he addressed them in this way. Oh, respectable Brahmins and gentlemen in the neighborhood, I want you to know that every night I worship Durga Devi without you knowing. Now all of you, higher castes and Brahmanas, you can all understand my actual position. So what happened? Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. And Krishna knew the pure heart of Shiva's Thakur. And that same exact Krishna is sitting in the heart of all the respectable gentlemen. So by his will, they said, "What is this? What is this? Who has done this terrible thing to Srivast Thakur? Who has done this mischievous activity? Who is that sinful man?" They immediately called for a sweeper and threw all the items for worshipping Durga away. And then they cleansed that place and mopped it with cow dung and cow urine. So in the meantime, what happened to Gopalachapala? Srivast Thakur didn't try to retaliate. He saw everything as the will of the Lord, as the mercy of the Lord. But what happened was, after 3 days, Gopalachapala was attacked with leprosy, and blood and pus and all these nasty things started oozing out of the pores of his body. He was all over, he was covered with the germs, and germs were biting his sores, and he was completely writhing in unbearable pain. His whole body burned with distress. And since leprosy is an infectious disease, he had to go off and sit alone by the bank of the Ganges. He couldn't stay in the village anymore. And then one day, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing by. And he approached the Lord very humbly. And he said, "My dear Lord, you are actually a blood relative of mine. You're like my nephew. I am your maternal uncle in the village relationship. So now please see how terribly distressed I am with this leprosy, and please relieve me of it." He didn't ask to be relieved of his sin. He didn't ask to be relieved of Maya. He asked to be relieved of his leprosy. "Please give me your mercy, considering that mercy is that I get rid of this suffering." So hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. And in that angry mood, he spoke these words: "O sinful person, envious of the pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, you shall keep this leprosy and being bitten by germs and worms for many millions of years. You have made Srivast Thakur appear to have been worshipping the goddess Durga. And simply for this offense, you'll fall down into a hellish life for 10 million births. I have appeared as an incarnation in order to kill the demons, and after killing them, to preach the cult of devotional service." So then the Lord left after that very strong statement, and he went to take his bath in the Ganges. And that sinful person did not give up his life, but he just continued suffering. Later on, when the Lord took sannyas and returned to Navadvip, to the island of Kuliya, that's the island where Gurudev has his temple, the new Sri Keshavji Gaudiya Math, where hopefully you'll all be able to come next month. So at that time, Gopalachapala approached him again, but this time with a different mood. Mahaprabhu told him, "You've committed an offense to Srivast Thakur. So if you want to be free, first you have to go to Srivast Thakur. And if he forgives you, and you don't commit the sin ever again, then you can be freed from the reaction." So he went to Srivast Thakur and took shelter of his lotus feet, and Srivast Thakur immediately freed him. Just like Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish was offended by Durvasa Muni. So So for the entire year that Durvasa Muni was being chased by the discus of the Lord, for that entire year, Maharaj Ambarish was fasting for a whole year and thinking, oh, I'm so sinful, I'm so offensive to this brahmana. He was completely faultless, but teaching how one should chant the holy name of the Lord so that we can achieve the results of the chanting, he was feeling that, oh, I'm so offensive to this brahmana. So please, O Sudarshan Chakra, who causes the entire destruction of the universe at the time of annihilation, please stop chasing this brahmana and become cool. If I've done any pious activities throughout my life, please let me give those pious activities to free this brahman whom I've offended. So, but the brahmana, he came to, in the meantime, he was going to Lord Vishnu. First he went to Brahma, Shiva, to be freed from the disc, but they wouldn't free him. They said, what can we do? It's the Lord's desire. Even we're not free from all the changes that he puts us under. So you'll have to go to Lord Vishnu. So he went to Vishnu within this material world. There's a spiritual planet within this material world. And the Lord, he went to the Lord and complained about Ambarish Maharaj. He said, I'm a brahmana, he's a kshatriya, he offended me, and now I'm under so much distress. And the Lord became very angry with him. He didn't offend you. He was simply taking the charinamrita to break paran, because I'm not different from a kadasi. But you have so much mystic knowledge. You can see what's happening far away, just like you were sitting in the water, sitting in the Jamuna, and you were meditating, and you were seeing with your mystic power, you were seeing into the palace that Maharaj Ambarish was taking the charanamrita, and you foolishly considered it as an offense to yourself, and then you want to kill him without realizing that the sadhus are in my heart and I'm in the sadhu's heart. That's where we live. So trying to kill him, you're trying to kill me. No way am I going to forgive you and save you. If you want forgiveness, then go back to Maharaj Ambarish. But in the meantime, Maharaj Ambarish, oh, Krishna said to him, Lord Vishnu said to him, knowledge that's used to hurt others, that knowledge comes back and destroys that person. Knowledge and austerities that are improperly used comes back and destroys the very person who misuses it. So in the meantime, one is having this mood, the other is having that mood. So finally, Durvasa Muni went back to the palace of, ran back to the palace of Maharaj Ambarish for deliverance. And Maharaj Ambarish said to him, oh yes, immediately take all my pious activities, all their results, and immediately be freed. And immediately gave him a big feast of prasadam to honor. So the result of that very beautiful Vaishnavata is that Durvasa Muni became a faithful follower of Maharaj Ambarish and went off into the skyways glorifying Maharaj Ambarish. So there's so many very beautiful histories of the Lord and his devotees. But now it's already 20 to 9. So I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Now, what should you do if somebody praises you, and what should you do if somebody criticizes you? If somebody praises us for any devotional quality, Just like yesterday, after Raghavekadi finished her songs, the bhajans, I said to her, "Wow, your singing is getting better and better. It's so beautiful." She said, "Yeah." She didn't even say, "No, it's not beautiful." She said, "Yeah, that's Gurudev's magic. Somehow or other, he did that. I don't know how, but he did it. Even sometimes I'm amazed what sounds come out, because I know it's not me." Srila Gurudev said, "Suppose somebody, you're giving a nice class, and then somebody comes at the end of the class and gives you a big donation. You gave such a good class. Maybe I could become your disciple or follower." And you think, "Yeah, I did give a good class. Maybe I should have disciples." But the real way that a good disciple thinks is that this is not my knowledge. If I have said anything good, that knowledge is my Gurudev's knowledge, because I haven't realized it. My Gurudev's realized it, therefore it's his knowledge. I'm just not even as good as a parrot, because a parrot can repeat something exactly. I'm not even as good as a parrot repeating. And so he gives all the credit and all the money to his Gurudev. If somebody's praising you for some material thing, "You're so beautiful," or "Your sari looks so good on you," then I can think, "Oh, this is Maya's trick trying to keep me here in this material world." Or by the influence, so many things to think. By the influence of my past pious activities, I have this kind of body. So let me not now do wrong things with it. Let me use this beauty or youth or whatever I have in the service of my Gurudev. Srila Gurudev always praised Srila Prabhupada's quote-unquote teeny-aged girls who gave up their youth for distributing his books in the airports, the seaports, and all over, the teeny-aged. He said, "So I want my disciples to do the same thing, to give their youth and their beauty for that, for preaching my mission." So, that's half of it. Now, if somebody criticizes me, what should I do? If anybody's interested, I have a CD called How to Be Free from Anger and Resentment, which is a class I gave in New Zealand last year. Which talks a lot about how to be free from, how to react when either in reality I'm being criticized, or by my misconception and false ego, I think I'm being criticized. How do I respond to that? So Gurudev said in one lecture that I should think that Krishna is performing an operation on me. Krishna personally, or Gurudev personally, is performing an operation on me for my purification, so that I'll respond to this in a humble way, and I'll be Krishna conscious in this situation, just as our acharyas are teaching by their own example and great personalities of the past. Or, because I've criticized and offended others and thus made them grieve, my Gurudev and Krishna personally are showing me how it feels, so that I shouldn't do that to others. I know how it feels, so I shouldn't do that to others. And there are so many things that I can remember how to accept criticism. I can be like, for example, I can be like Lord Vishnu, who, when Bhrigu Muni kicked him in the chest very hard, when he was being massaged, his feet were being massaged by Lakshmi Devi, he immediately stood up and he said, "Oh my goodness, please forgive me. A great Brahmin like you have come into my house, into my abode," the servant of Ananta, "you've come to my abode and I didn't even respectfully greet you. Please forgive me. And also please forgive me, because your lotus feet are so soft and my chest is so hard and rocky and stony. So I beg your pardon. And he wasn't saying it sarcastically. He's teaching us how to respond if we feel abused by others. So there are so many wonderful examples. Or like the king, for example. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if somebody says to you, if I say to you, Vishakha, hey you pink choli, aren't I stupid? Hey you pink choli. But so that's my foolishness. But if you think, oh, she called me pink choli, then that's your foolishness. So there are so many very beautiful ways to think. And if we think the right way, then we are free to go on and serve our Gurudev. If we think the wrong way and want to retaliate, then I'm stuck in the influence of Kali Yuga. I'm stuck on the bodily platform. I can't chant. I can also remember the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, who said that anyone who considers this is my friend and this is my enemy, he can never perceive the presence of the super soul within his own heart. Again, at least for me, it's very easy to speak, but very hard to do. So why are we hearing about it and reading about it? So we can, when anything happens, we can pray that, let me be like this, and try to act on it, and then we'll get mercy, that it becomes a natural thing. Any other questions or comments? Does that answer the question? Or you have more? You're asking if somebody who doesn't know about Krishna criticizes me personally?
Or praises
me? You're speaking only about people who don't know about Krishna?
Both. Like what to maybe say?
There are a million things to say depending on what is said to us. And I've mentioned a few, but the main thing is if I have the right thinking, then automatically the right thing will say back. Srila Rupa Goswami was meditating as he was chanting, and all of a sudden he got a vision of the Sakis laughing and joking with Radha and Krishna. So because he's a Manjari, Rupa Manjari, he began laughing also in his meditation. So that meditation came out in his Rupa Goswami form. So he was laughing, but it just so happened, so outside he was laughing as he was chanting. It just so happened that a lame devotee was passing by and offering him obeisances. So he didn't respond to the obeisances, he was just laughing because he was in trance. So that other devotee, he went to complain to Sri Sanatana Goswami about him. And in the meantime, Srila Rupa Goswami lost his meditation and couldn't get it back. So he understood that I must have offended a devotee. So he went to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami said, hold the feast, and whoever doesn't come, you'll know he's the one you offended. So this person didn't come, so he knew he was the one who was offended. So he immediately went to him to beg pardon. And Sanatana Goswami also told him why. And in the meantime, the other person who complained about Rupa Goswami who went to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami said, no, you don't understand, this is what happened. So he went to Rupa Goswami to apologize. And the both of them went to each other. So because both of their mindsets was good, they automatically knew exactly what to say to each other. Otherwise, there's millions of things to say. But it depends on how we're thinking. Whatever our goal is, whatever I want to achieve in what I'm about to say, that will determine what I will say. Does that make sense? Any other questions or comments? Who's in charge of schedules around here? Vaishnavi? Oh, I forget your real name. No. Ladies don't laugh too much out loud, just out of chastity. There's one story that, which is also in connection with this, that Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows, and he was giving very good instructions to the Pandavas and Draupadi. And Draupadi wanted to laugh because she was thinking that, okay, now he's giving very good instructions, but where was his instructions when these crude and rude men were trying to make me naked in their assembly? So she didn't laugh, she just covered her mouth with her cloth and was smiling. So in that regard, Gurudev said, and then she told him. So Gurudev said, the ladies will be very shy and won't just burst out laughing out loud out of chastity. So then she asked that, and then he told a story that because I had bad association of Duryodhana and company, and I was taking the foodstuffs from them. If we take food, bad food, then we get the mentality of the bad person who's feeding us. Could be a restaurant, could be just a karmi relative or whatever. And then I become like them. I get their mentality. He said, because I was taking the bad food, I also had a demoniac mentality, and that's why I didn't say anything to protect you. But now that I'm on this bed of arrows and all that blood has drained out over these days, now I'm free to think properly. So then he told a story about, I think most of you know the story. Do most of you know the story about the lady, the beautiful elderly Brahmani lady whose son was bitten by a snake? How many people don't know it? Okay. So there was beautiful, and I already gave out the punchline. So the beautiful Brahmani lady, she used to make her living by begging, madhukari, and she spent most of her time worshipping her deity. And she was a self-realized soul. So one morning she sent out her son, little boy, to go to the forest to pick flowers for the deity worship. So while he was in the taking flowers from the bush, a big black snake came and bit him, and immediately he turned blue and died. So it just so happened by providence that a hunter was passing by, and he saw what happened. So he happened to have known how to charm a snake by mantra. So he said this mantra, and the snake went into his basket, and he covered it with the lid. And he put the basket under one shoulder, he put the boy over his shoulder, and he brought him to his mother. As soon as the mother saw the dead son, she started wailing in uncontrollable agony. And when she calmed down, he told her what happened, and he said, oh mother, please order me to kill this snake right now. And she said, oh, if you kill the snake, then my son will come back to life? And he said, no. She said, then don't kill the snake. What for? He said, well, maybe the snake will kill somebody else to protect others in the future and to get back at him. She said, no, don't kill the snake. It was a special thing that happened to my son. And because she was self-realized, she wouldn't blame the snake. But the hunter wanted to blame the snake. So he didn't care what the lady said, and the Vaishnavi said, and he was just about to kill the snake, when all of a sudden, the snake started speaking and said, don't blame me. I've been living in this bush for years, and I've never bitten anybody. It was Kal, time. He did it. So all of a sudden, Kal, the personality of time, appeared on the spot. And he said, don't blame me, and don't blame the snake. The time had come for this boy's fruitive reactions to bear fruit. In his past life, he killed that snake who was in the form of another boy. So now that boy came back to kill him. So he did it to himself. So if anything happens to us, we are supposed to think that we did it. Tatenu kampam shushumikshamanam. Su sumikshamanam. Means I should think in a very good way, very carefully. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Or why is Gurudev allowing this situation to happen to me? Because I did something, and now I'm getting back just a little bit of what I really deserve. And then I pray to the Lord that things like this that disrupt my mind, I'm so absorbed in who's my friend, who's my enemy, and who should I thank, and who should I retaliate against, and blah, 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 my whole day. Like once I told Gurudev, this is about 12 years ago, you know, Gurudev, I spend half my day worrying that people are judging me, and I spend the second half of my day judging others. So Gurudev said, you shouldn't have time to think about these things, because you should be thinking into the songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur and our other acharyas. Oh, please save me from all my obstacles that I created due to my own past sins, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed. A wicked mind, oh Lord, a wicked mind has brought me into this world. And then pray, let me be free from these obstacles that I've created for myself due to my past activities, so that I can chant your name. Dasanti will say one very nice verse from Manushiksha, prayer to the mind, about who is our real enemy, the dacoits. Dasanti? Loud. A such taster. Prakatav. Say the English. Oh, my dear mind. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion are just like a band of dacoits who assail me and all on the open road of materialistic life. They have bound my neck licentiously with the torturous ropes of wicked deeds. Calling out piteously in this way, pray to the powerful commanders in the army of the path leading to Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura. And they will, hearing our piteous cry, they will save me from that situation. So, I don't think like this now. So how can I get to think like this now? Gurudev gave you an example of a rope on a rock. There's a rock, and the rock is pretty solid. And if I go like this back and forth on my rock, what happens? Nothing. But if I keep going and going and going and going, then it starts making an impression in the rock. You know, every drop of water withers away the stone. First you don't see anything, and gradually it starts to drop by drop, withers away the stone. So these are called sanskaras, creating impressions by repeated activities. If I repeatedly utter this verse in the Manushiksha, that I'm creating my own problem. Or the next verse. What's the next verse, Sandhi? Oh mind, you think that you're becoming purified by taking bath in the trickling urine of the full-blown urine coming from the full-blown donkey of deceit and hypocrisy. And thus you're burning or incinerating both you and me. O mind, please instead bathe yourself in the nectar ocean of the glories of Gandharvika Giridhari, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and thus make me happy and free. So if I repeatedly remember all these real things that are going to help me, instead of taking shelter of the stone boat in the middle of the water, or taking shelter of the tail of a dog who's trying to swim across the ocean, then I can be happy and know what to say in all circumstances. Does that answer your question, Vaishnavi? Okay. Including the one you asked? I don't either. Huh? Oh, laughing. That's right. Laughing. So, are any authorities around here? Any managers? Any fearless leaders around here who tell us what to do? Is it time for prasadam? Oh, here's a fearless leader right there. Vasanti. What? Nandini's house to wait for Gurudev. Do you know what time he's coming?
11:15.
11:15? Okay. And is prasadam ready?
Yeah, apparently this is coming.
Okay. So any final question? Otherwise, we'll just end here with a short kirtan. Any kirtaniers here?
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari.